This guy is so starless. Baby, this guy is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah.
All right. Welcome back, man. It's the Red Light Specialist. Episode number 8. Chris, we are 8 episodes in.
And feeling good.
Yeah, to an R&B podcast that, you know, I don't know if they thought we would make it 8 episodes, but every episode just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Shout out, first of all, to Ryan Leslie, who was last week's guest, man.
Yes.
Let's drop some. It wasn't even just like music. I felt like that interview kind of changed my life and made me think about the way that I just interact with people differently, man. That was a really great interview.
It was just very intellectual, and I really appreciate him even coming up here and just sharing so much with us that people may not even think on a day-to-day basis. And the people loved hearing everything that he had to say on that episode. So shout out to Ryan Leslie, and shout out to Jake and Papa too for our intro song, Starless.
Yeah, man, Jake and Pop. It's funny, man, because they haven't released that song. As far as we know, the only place you're going to hear that song as of right now is the Red Light Special podcast, and people hit us up like, yo, where can I get that? Is it on iTunes? Nah, you want to hear it? You're going to have to listen to this podcast every week,
because right,
that's the only place you're going to hear it. Got him. You know, and also, too, I want to shout out, This Is R&B for always supporting us week in and week out. This is R&B.com, always showing love. And you heard that new, too.
Yes, shout out to Low Key.
Low Key, always showing love. But we got some big news. We got an event coming up this week, right, Chris? Man, you want to talk about this?
We do. We have an event coming up, actually, July 22nd at the Apple Store in Soho. The address for it is 103 Prince Street, and it's going to be hosted by none other than Sway Calloway.
My big brother was Biggs. Yeah.
I'm just so excited because, you know what? We have the podcast, and I think it's dope because I don't feel like there's really any other platforms for R&B just specifically. Everything is a little bit kind of mixed. And like we've always been saying, you know, they get a lot of the gossip and the drama, and everything's about, you know, who you're sleeping with and what was up on the media. And we like to keep a reputation of just talking about the music, just the aspect of the music. And I feel like this night we're really going to be able to speak on it and just kind of tell everybody how we even came up with the idea, what we do, who we've had the pleasure of speaking to on the podcast. Right. And hopefully, you know, everybody shows up and supports.
Yeah, man. So definitely come out, man. If y'all want to kick it with us, it's Apple's Meet the Podcaster event. Shout out to Apple and Brian Davis and my man Carl Cherry over there also, for just reaching out and recognize what we're doing so early on in the process. But like Chris said, it's on Wednesday, July 22nd,
7 p.m.
Meet the Podcaster. So y'all can come hang out with us and the big homie Sway Calloway from MTV. And Shade 4-5, Sway in the Morning. And we're just going to have a good time. I think it's going to be an interview knowing Sway. There's going to be a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a good time. So
it's going to be a good time.
Come out and hang with us.
Listen, I just want to get right into tonight's episode, actually, because this is a major, major episode. Rob, just get right into it, man. I don't even want to prolong this any longer. I mean, can you just introduce our first guest of the night?
Let's do it. We got a very important guest. Actually, in the realm of music and R&B, I don't know if you can get a more important guest than the gentleman that we have here today. I mean, this guy has countless classics. Some of y'all will conceive to his music. Some of y'all have conceived to his music. Mm-hmm. And the rest of y'all will conceive to his music.
Yes,
I'd like
sir.
To welcome to the Red Light Special, Mr. R. Kelly, Mr. Robert Kelly. Kells, welcome, man.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. I'm good, man. Yeah. I'm just blessed to be here.
Yeah, me too.
You know, we talk about on this podcast a lot the power of R&B music,
yeah,
and the state that it's in and how much we appreciate it and how much it's not maybe appreciated everywhere else as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the current state of R&B and soul music today?
Well, when you talk state, man, as far as R&B, I think state of emergency. And meaning, you know, I really don't appreciate the way, you know, people out here are pretty much like pushing R&B to the side. First of all, you got a lot of great talent out here. R&B is what made us all. R&B brought the soul to who we all are. And now we're just going to ignore it. I have nothing against hip hop. I'm a hip hop guy. I'm an R&B guy. I'm a country, pop, rock, soul, blues, whatever you call it guy. but we cannot take R&B and just push it to the side. When we were born to it, we made love to it, we got married to it, you understand, and we grew up on it, you know. So why would not only the industry or fans or anybody out there, but why would the artists allow that? We can't allow that.
Right.
And that's why I'm doing the buffet, and that's why I'm gonna stay in the game until Jesus come back, because I got to see this through along with people like you that's trying to keep R&B alive, because it is alive.
Right.
We're dead, you know what I'm saying?
It definitely is alive. Who are some of the new artists that you notice and you tip your hat to? Because there are a lot of artists working to not only keep the music alive, but progress it and take it places that it hasn't been. Who's some of the guys that you keep your eye on?
Well, it's a lot of guys. Weeknd, you know, Trey Songz. Yeah. So it's a lot of guys out there doing it, you know, and girls, you know, just doing this R&B, you know, but they got to speak up on it, you know, in as far as, you know, supporting it, you know, not just doing the song, not just putting the song out there, not just swagging out on the video, but also getting in the interviews and, you know, and talk about it, you know, going away. You know, R&B, if anything, is going to save the kids. It's going to save these young kids from, you know, being out here and violence and the guns and just doing what they doing out here. You know, R&B is a way of love, man. It's a way of connection, you know what I'm saying? So let's not get rid of the connections. It's like, let's not get rid of In God We Trust on a dollar, you know what I'm saying? Let's not get rid of the things that make the world go round, you know what I'm saying?
Talk about this Buffet album. What amazes me about you is, if you've been in it so long, 20 plus years since, you know, stepping to the 90s, when you go to make an album, and you've done so much already, what do you tell yourself before you start an album? What is it that you're trying to do at the beginning of an album? Because you've done so much, and I'm sure you don't like reruns and repeats and syndication. You always bring it something new.
Right. Well, I look at it like this, man. I look at every time I go to do an album, and the studio becomes my locker room, you know. It's where I take my showers, where I dress, you know, and get comfortable, listen to my little headphones, and then I go out there and get on the court, you know, and try to win the game. So R&B, or when I go into the studio, I think to myself, okay, another day at the office. I don't push the music, I don't pull the music, and I just let the game come to me, just like in sports. You know, you don't go out there and rush nothing. You don't go out there and go ahead of yourself. Take your time, be patient, make smart plays, and then next thing you know, you'll do something that'll put you in a zone, and then the game comes to you. And that's how I do with my music. I just go in the studio and I just relax, have fun. I mean, light me a stogie, drink me a little Hennessy or whatever, man.
Like,
and just relax.
To.
Like, in that order. You understand what I'm saying? And then next thing you know, the music comes. It comes.
So what can we expect on Buffet? Buffet, first of all, is coming September 25th, is it?
Yeah, September 25th, Buffet.
What can we expect on this album? What zone we getting?
Well, I tell you, man, it's like, in an old school term, it's like a pot of stew, you know. Okay. But, you know, to upgrade, I call it the buffet because, you know, I decided, okay, what can I do now? I always ask myself, what can I do now? And then that question is always answered. So as I look over my audience when I'm on stage now, it wasn't like this back in the days, but now when I look out over the audience, you got all kind of generation of people out there, young, medium age, you know, older, you know, and all of these people are waiting on their favorite era of R. Kelly, their favorite style of R. Kelly. You know, some are waiting on I Believe I Can Fly, some waiting on me to do Step in the Name of Love, some are waiting on me to do Bump and Grind, some are waiting on Ignition, and then the old school R. Kelly, which is the 12 play.
Ooh.
You know, Seem Like You Ready, Step in My Room, all of this stuff, man. So I said, on this particular album, I'm gonna take everything I've ever done, all of those different genres and all those different elements, and I'm going to put them on one album, and I'm going to call it The Buffet, All You Can Hear.
I can't wait. One thing that I would like your help with right now, if you can help me, man, I've been having a little bit of trouble, man. I'm trying to put together a playlist, okay, that I could play at night with my lady.
Yeah.
You know, to get the mood right.
Right.
but I've been having a little trouble. What would R. Kelly suggest to put on your playlist for, you know, when the night wind down and with your lady, you might light a candle or two or something? Well, what songs would you put on that?
Well, I think, first of all, you should put on The Zoo. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? That's just the kick. The moment off. You know what I'm saying? Set the tone. Let her know what it's about to be. You understand? Once you do that, I think you should go on to Seem Like You're Ready. Don't even mess around with it. Just go straight on to Seem Like You're Ready. Right. You know, and do some slow jam. You understand me? Go straight on up to Bump and Grind and hit them off with Time to Have Sex. You understand me? And then go on and break it down to 12 play. You understand? And then you go on to step in my room and just keep hitting upside the head with that doggone old school, man. You should have no problems, bro.
I can't lose.
Okay. Aplets from there.
I don't know how I would afford to raise all these kids. I might have to come to R. Kelly for this.
You asked for it, though.
You helped me get this playlist. I got to put some food on the table. Man. I appreciate you. One song that I want to talk about, one of my favorite R. Kelly songs. Oh, man, I just want to get in your zone of where you was at when you was doing it. I think we laugh when we hear it, but it's one of the realest songs, and it expresses emotion that I think all guys have been through at one time. It was on the Double Up album. It was called Real Talk.
Real talk, absolutely.
And man, it was just, man, did you just get into a fight with your lady? Where did that song come from and what was going on when you put that down?
Man, that song come from just the realest spirit that, you know, a song can come from, man. You didn't hold nothing back. You just decided to go raw. I mean, take the condom off on that and just go raw on that song, man, and be like, you know, I've experienced that. I know other guys have experienced that, you know, and that was something that the earth hood-wise needed, you know. So it's like when you go to church, you know what I'm saying, and you hear a great pastor preach the word, what they do is they touch you in such a way that you feel like they just talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like, wow. He in my business right now. This man is talking directly to me. And that's what real talk was. Right. You know, it don't get no realer than that. You talking and you talking to every guy out there and what they've experienced with one girl or another here or there in their life.
And the real hero on that song, God bless him, was Milton.
Milton, that's right.
Because you need somebody to come and get you up out of that
man,
situation.
Come get me up out of this, man.
Nah, man, I definitely appreciate that, man. That was always a question I wanted to ask you, because I feel like we've had tremendous singers throughout, you know, from the Isleys, Ronald Isley to Luther Vandross.
Absolutely.
You know, to yourself, to new guys like The Weeknd that you mentioned and Trey Songz. Yeah. But nobody has ever quite expressed that emotion, that situation in a song that way. And I think that's the power of music. And I think that's the power of R. Kelly, man.
Also the connection to the people.
Right. Yeah. I appreciate you. Well, oh man, I know you got things to do. I know you're about to hit the stage. You're on this run, you're on this tour. Yeah. You gotta finish up the Buffet album. Yeah. Everybody wants to interview you, but I appreciate your time and your energy on the Red Light Special Podcast,
good,
man. Thank you for hanging with us.
Appreciate it, man.
Man, did we just get R. Kelly in here?
Yeah, I think that was just Robert Kelly that was just here. That's
crazy, man. That's huge, but that's not it. We have a really big guest here tonight. This two-time Grammy Award-winning singer and songwriter hails from Toronto, Canada, The Six. She dropped her debut album, The Bridge, in 2009 with her Fury single, Give It To Me Right. In 2012, she dropped her The MF Life LP and Let Her Emotions Fly on 4 a.m. Now she's back, she's independent, and her new album, Awake, is due out later this year. Please welcome Miss Melanie Fiona to the Red Light Special.
First of all, did you realize Chris Mel is our first female guest?
What?
And
first. You've been in a room with boys all this time, girl?
All this time.
How have you been surviving?
You know what? I really don't know.
All right.
But I want to thank you for coming, because you are our first female guest, and everybody always asks us when we're going to have our first female artist on here. So
represent.
Here we go.
I'm here.
Let me tell you,
for the ladies.
I want female guests up in here too. Yeah. I was thinking it was me. It was kind of my ego. It was like, we had one cancel on. I blew her up last week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it again. We had somebody cancel on us.
I tried to hold that back.
You know, I'm thinking maybe it was me.
We got a problem, son?
It's good cop, bad cop. And unfortunately, Rob,
you want to talk about it? It's R&B. We could be in our feelings.
That's what I'm saying. I talked about it last week, man, but I definitely felt hurt when El Vonna didn't show up.
Oh, El, you did my man dirty like that, El.
Listen, it's no hard feelings. I just want to say off bat because you know a lot of people are going to take that and twist it and turn it and turn it into some kind of drama. There's no hard feelings.
We can
use
the controversy. It helps the ratings.
We can use the controversy.
Damn, Rob.
Look, facts are facts. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Yeah, nah, exactly. Shout out to El Vonna, man.
Shout out to El.
But shout out to you for being the first female artist that we have on RLS. So
thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So, Mel, what's good? Like, yo, I feel like it's so much to talk about.
Yes, let's talk about it.
And so much has kind of changed for you. I mean, for one, you're independent now.
So independent.
That's huge.
You know, I'm born on the 4th of July, so like it was written.
Happy
to be
belated.
Thank you.
But you're Canadian, so does it have the same?
I know. Well, it does now that I'm here.
Okay.
I get fireworks.
I respect it.
I'll take that. No, yeah, I feel like it's true. I am independent now, and I was born on the 4th of July. So I feel like this was written. This was supposed to happen.
Nah, definitely. I mean, what? Because you came in with a splash. I feel like Give It To Me Right was such a powerful record. And then, you know, the MF Life, like, it's definitely like the R&B that we came up on and the soul mm-hmm. music that moved you. I mean, you won Grammys, like you were winning and felt like the trajectory was going to go up and still mm-hmm. feels like it's going to go up. Mm-hmm. But it's not a move that somebody might take on their second album and say, you know what? I want my independence.
Well, this is my third album.
Right. The Bridge. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was The Bridge and then the MF Life. And then, you know, it's like I've just felt like onward and upward is always the way. You know, I've never been like be the one that's the flash in the pan or a rocket that's going to go up really fast and then come down really, really slow or really quickly. I've just been working hard at doing what I love to do all these years and just earning the respect and like the success that it is with every album, with every single, whichever it is. So, you know, for me at this point, like you said, Grammys and albums and songs that people know and love and have toured and done everything for to be independent at this point in my career is like is onward and upward, right. Is a trajectory still going up, because like what artist doesn't want all their creativity? What artist doesn't want all their creative control and like control of their careers to say what and who and where and when and how and why? You know what I mean? Like we're artists, that's like all we have is our art, so we want to protect that. And sometimes like the business and the art don't always meet, you know? And I'm not going to take anything away from anything that I've been blessed to do in the past. Like my run with Universal Records, my time that I had there with the two albums I put out, we experienced great success. I did great things. I'm so thankful for that platform to be introduced to the world on a major scale. And just as the tides turn, it just worked that this was like the perfect timing for me to have the option to go independent. And to be able to take that is just fantastic. So, right. You know, it's just blessings.
And it feels like the right time to do it with the way the industry is changing. I mean, streaming is now a new thing. And I think the industry and artists are figuring out how to really make that work in their favor. And, you know, everything is digital now. So at least the distribution is a little bit easier. And you speak to your fans. And I see it every day. I follow you on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You have a direct connection to your fans. And sometimes it might just be like sending them a link like, hey, check this out.
Yeah.
And they're right in tune. It feels like an empowering time.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it is. And just knowing that I have fans that have been riding with me all this time and like people are like, yo, where's the music? Like, we need you. Like, that's such a great feeling to know that like I can just directly say, here is the music. Here is where you can get it. Here's where you can see me. That open line of communication. And that's all I really like to use social media for, is to just kind of like communicate with my fans, let people know what I'm up to, let people know what I'm interested in. And, you know, just like really kind of make it a thing where I think people emotionally feel connected, right. Always, whether it's music, social media, like I always just try to keep it like right. That.
And that's dope, because I feel like in following you on Twitter and your social media and on your Snapchat is lit. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like you're pushing the link, right? Or like you're only active. There's certain artists that account lays dormant until they got an album coming out. And then right. You start seeing them ramping up. Like just the other day you were at the NAACP convention.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was kind of there with you. She was tweeting. She was like, man, I'm front row. I'm about to see Obama talk. And I felt like I was front row and I'm about to hear Obama talk.
Yo.
And I think that's cool. I think it's dope when an artist or even anybody who's doing something isn't afraid to big somebody else up and just kind of show like the respect and admiration that there is should be, especially even with your social media. The fact we had Ryan Leslie up here talking about his distribution plan and how he actually gave out his phone number to all his fans.
Yeah.
And they can actually directly speak to him. buy the album and he actually responds. And I think just that connection between you and a fan is what changes everything.
Yeah, and shout out to Ryan Leslie. Like, I'm a super, super huge Ryan Leslie fan. And, like, I remember we've had many conversations, like, met, talked, you know. And I saw, because we were both actually on the same label. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he left right before I left. And it was like, when he told me what he was getting ready to do, I was like, this is just genius. Like, what you're doing is like, it's just crazy.
He told you about that plan with the phone and
everything. He showed me everything. We sat and showed me. I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're changing the face mm-hmm. of communication between artists and fans. Like, it's crazy. The direct line of communication. And it's he forecasted it, like, exactly where people are, exactly the type of reach every artist wants to have. You know, it's like, I mean, it's crazy, and that's exactly where it is headed. Like, that's exactly where it's headed. Like, that whole independent way of thinking is absolutely where music is headed. Like, and you know, I'm fortunate to just be a part of the conversation and the movement. Like, that's right. Awesome.
Right. Nah, no doubt. The convention, though. Like, that was a big thing for you.
Yo, I definitely met the president. I definitely met him.
Come on, you gotta spell.
Definitely smiled at me twice and shook my hand. And, like, I was
so
like
a tight grip.
It was very presidential.
He just smiled at you once. Now Michelle is like side eye. You know those Michelle memes.
Michelle, she's not playing any games. Right. But I'm telling you, like, it was really something amazing. And, like, you know, I'm Canadian, so, like, I don't really have the political attachment to the history of presidents or America's history in that sense. But I've been here working actively and, like, being here living actively all throughout President Obama's, you know, presidency. Right. And it's amazing how connected you can feel to somebody without knowing them personally. So to meet him was really such an honor. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I wish I could vote for you. Right. I wish I could have voted for you, because I would have. You'd have had my vote. You know, right. He's just amazing. And he was talking about so many amazing things yesterday that, you know, I think was really important in relative to the NAACP and just relative to what's happening in culture right now in the media and, like, and, you know, the criminal system is used. Yeah. It was a really compelling speech. And I definitely met and shook the president's hand, like, and then performed on the stage that he spoke on right after.
That was wild.
That's big.
What did you say?
Well, I was actually doing a concert for the conference. So he addressed the conference, and then they did, like, adjourn the room. Mm. And then later on, it was like a whole event. They had, like, a DJ and everything. And then the committee and everybody who got the tickets came. So it was my concert.
So you guys
did
the hits.
On the same stage. Also, yeah, I performed all the hits. I did, of course, Give It To Me Right. I did Monday Morning, 4 a.m., It Kills Me, Wrong Side of a Love Song, Fool For You, Change the Record. I did two new records off the new album, I Tried and Bite the Bullet. Okay. I did a little tribute to Kendrick and Lauryn Hill. And
Wait.
You can't just say that and just
go back. How'd you tribute Kendrick and Lauryn?
So I remixed one of my songs, and my band just kind of, like, freestyles, like, this, like, it's like a musical break in a song. So then I do Don't Kill My Vibe into doo-wop, but the verse of doo-wop, but I rap it, and it's not over, like, the doo-wop beat. It's, like, different. And it's just, like, I really love to perform those two records particularly just because those are two artists that I really feel do a really great job of being conscious in their music and saying things that people don't say much anymore these days in R&B or hip-hop, you know? Right. So, like, I do the whole verse with Lauryn Hill, and it's the part where it's, like, showing off your ass because you're thinking it's a trick, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. And, like, you know, it's one of those things where I want to share with people, like, are you listening to these lyrics? Like, we're living in a time right now where showing off your ass is the thing that people are doing. You know what I mean?
For a double tap.
For a, like, it's just double,
like,
tap.
Like, that's
right.
It.
For a it double is the tap. Trend nowadays.
It's
so.
The trend. And, like, you know, like, that, like, Lauryn was so ahead of her time in that thinking. Like, what she was saying back then, what Kendrick is saying, like, I really feel that. And, like, it's something that I really pride myself on when I make music, is just to keep the integrity of, like, what's real and, like, what I want people to be thinking about and talking about. Just because, like, that's just what I'm about. I saw that Nina Simone documentary the other day.
Yeah.
Was so moved. Like, you know, I'm really into that. So, like, between that, meeting the president, I'm, like, righteous all the way right now. Right. Like, we got to talk about some things.
And, you know, it's dope because you mentioned, you know, artists like Lauryn Hill, like, who is timeless. She we first heard her in about 94, and we're still talking about her today and relevant. And she hasn't really dropped much new music. Kendrick, who is a newer artist but feels like he's going to be timeless. Nina Simone, who is absolutely timeless. And, you know, Melanie, when I listen to your records, and I'm not gassing it because you're here, but it feels timeless in the way that there's no stamp to it. It feels like music. You know, when music feels good to you,
right,
it's going to feel good in 2009 when I first heard Give It To Me Right. And
right.
In 2015 when I went back and revisited the record, because I was like, all right, let me just brush up. And I'm like, damn, this record still go.
Man.
And there hasn't really been much that sounded like it since. Like, you definitely have your own lane and your own sense of who you are as an artist.
Thank you. And, you know, like, that's really what I've taken the time since, like, we released the MF Life in 2012. And since then, that's all I've been doing in the last 3 years. It's just been, I toured that album, then I took some time to just be human, get re-inspired, get refocused, but I never stopped making music. And everything that I've been doing is just really carving out what I want this project to be, you know? And in the vein of, like, artists who are being conscious to what they're feeling and thinking and what's happening in the climate of the world, this album is called Awake. And I knew that that was going to be the album title even before I started making songs for the album, just because that was the place I felt like I was evolving into. And that's what I knew this album needed to represent. And that's the beautiful thing about being independent. That's the beautiful thing about, you know, being an artist, is that when you make timeless music, there's no expiration date. You don't have to rush to, like, be like, oh, we got to keep up with the trend. It's like, no, pick up the album from 2009 and rock with that in 2016. Pick up the album in 2015 and rock with that in 2020. Like, you know, and I'll keep putting out music in between. But, like, that's the goal. It's never to be a trendy. Like, trends come and go, but, like, classic is forever. We're still talking about Lauryn Hill, 94. Oh.
Always. And I did want to ask you, because you talk about the album Awake being who you are now and who you've evolved into.
Mm-hmm.
So I know with the MF Life, I read somewhere that, I don't know if it's that you were feeling this or you were being told this, but that you were like an angry R&B singer. And I just want to know, like, did you name this album Awake because of any kind of change from then till now? Is it all about, like, is this album going to sound completely different from the last?
Well, I don't think it's going to sound, I don't know how to say it's different, because I think the thing that's consistent about all of my albums is my delivery and how I sing and what I sing about. And I've never kind of wanted to be limited to one genre of music. Every single one of my albums is, like, so diverse. I mean, a lot of people just know me for the, I'm going to quote it, the angry R&B songs, because the songs that people just happen to love and gravitate towards off my albums were It Kills Me, 4 a.m.
I love It
Wrong
Kills
Side
Me.
Of a Love Song.
It's my favorite,
you know what
one,
I'm saying?
Actually.
But, like, these are heartbroken songs. These are things that I've lived. These are things that I've been through. These are things that I feel people needed to hear or say, or somebody's story that I needed to tell. So, like, you know, if people meet me, they're like, she's not angry at all. Like, she's a happy person. Like, and a lot of my happiness and my strength comes from my despair, comes from my dark moments. But I don't stay there. I don't live in the dark. And so, like, definitely turning pain into, like, positivity has been a great lesson for me, especially from the MF Life. And, like, the MF Life in itself, not when I think about where I was, but actually, yeah, where I was. I mean, I was definitely in a space of learning about the ups and downs of life. Hmm. And that's where the MF came from. Not only my initials, but the double entendre of life,
right,
being like a motherfucker. Like, right, it's, yeah, like high and low at all times. And I actually realized the power in what that actually brought into my life when I lived in the space of calling my life the MF Life.
Right.
It brought good and it brought bad. And so definitely now feeling and growing from that is being awake, is being better and learning from that experience and evolving and just being more in touch with myself, growing as a writer, growing as a woman, growing as an artist. And I want my fans to grow with me. And I just think that, like, more so now than ever with the state of the world, we all need to be awake. We need to be conscious. We need to be aware of what's happening so that we can make a difference. We're responsible. And so that's how I've taken charge of my life, and that's how I live. So it's not just the album title. It's, like, my way of life. It's that third eye being open. It's that presence at all times.
That's dope. That's super dope. And I don't know that we have a lot of, in the realm of R&B, a consciousness like that. That's something that I feel like Marvin Gaye represented.
Bob Marley.
Yeah. You know, props to John Legend. I think John Legend, who you work with.
Yeah, I mean, John, and that's the thing I can honestly say. Like, I've been blessed to work with artists that have taken this stance. Like, The Roots and John and Common and I did the album, you know, Wake Up, which is tribute. Yeah. We did Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. I mean, Harold Melvin was talking about that way back.
Yeah.
Marvin Gaye was talking about Mercury and Fish, Brother, Brother,
right,
way back in the 70s, you know? Like, And I feel like it's been there, and that inspiration of being involved in that, it is very important. And like, I'm not going to say that the entire album is, it's not political,
right?
But what it is present. It's present in the feeling that I was at. It's present in the lesson that I learned. It's present in what I feel people sometimes find themselves in, and then they're like, yeah, that's what that does mean. Damn, I never thought about it that way. And you know, there's lots of vulnerable moments, high moments, low moments. But to answer what you were saying, like, if it sounds like the other albums, you know, I would say the first album definitely had like an ode to Motown. Like, it was very retro, and it had a lot of old influence, samples of old records. And then the second album was definitely more hip hop driven, along with like a classic soulful, like throwback R&B sound. And this album I've done with Andre Harris out of Philly.
Okay.
And you know, he's done Music Soul Child and Jill Scott, and he's a musician. He plays several instruments. And him and I just wanted to make something that would reflect both of our artistry. And so it was like, how do we curate that sound? So how do we keep it as diverse as my last albums have been, but create something that's who you are now? And so not every song I'm singing big, it kills me, wrong side of a love song. I'm not singing huge on all of these songs. There's a lot of conversation going on in this album. There's a lot of vulnerability and like vibe. And then of course there's classic Melanie Fiona moments that where people want to hear me sing about this broken heart or this like amazing love story. You know, but there's been a lot of artistic growth for me and evolution that I think people are really going to love, because I think there's a lot of elements that feel current, but they're still timeless at the same time.
Cool.
That's amazing.
And you mentioned, you talked about a vibe and vibes.
Comes up a lot on our episodes.
I want to talk about Bite the Bullet from this album, because Bite the Bullet definitely has vibes.
Vibes.
And, you know, you being a West Indian background, right?
Guyanese. Guyanese, GT Massive.
Yeah, this just feels like that. And me, I'm not West Indian. Well, I'm honorary West Indian. Did I ever tell you I'm honorary
West Indian? If you grew up in New York, you're honorary West Indian.
I grew up
Indian.
In Flatbush, Brooklyn.
You are definitely honorary West Indian.
Like, Juve was like right past the front stoop every year. Like, you didn't
and
have
And you
no
definitely
choice.
Had somebody's Guyanese auntie walking by you every day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So,
yelling at you, I'm sure, at some point in your little bad childhood years.
How you know I was bad? How come I can't be the good kid in the mad city?
Because you was in Flatbush. You were out there in those streets late at night, and they was like talking to you. Hey, boy, stop making all that blasting noise. I trying to go to sleep. Y'all children running these streets, hanging out, playing basketball and talking and doing all kind of thing. I trying to get some rest. I got to work at JFK in the morning.
That's an intro right there.
Got him. She know, yo, man.
Shout out to every Guyanese
First
auntie at JFK.
Mel just got real
sounded,
Guyanese.
She sounded
in
just
here.
Like my man Damian Scott. Sounded like his mom, Julia, man. And I grew up in their house.
That's
man.
Right.
Drinking Mobby and
Mobby and ginger beer and sorrel.
Yo, but let's get into this Bite the Bullet while we on this vibe.
Vibes.
Play a little bit of it.
The first time you shot me down, I was crazed. Second.
That's real tunes.
Real tunes. Tunes.
Tunes.
Tunes.
Tunes. You know, I love the power in the songwriting, because it's so relatable and it's a double entendre in itself. I'll bite the bullet. Like, there's a violence to it. There's a tragedy and still the upliftness to it. Talk about the songwriting process of how this concept came about.
Well, I'll say this is one of those songs I wish I wrote, but I didn't write. The songwriter of this song's name is Ryan Toby, and he is City High.
Yeah,
I mean, sister act, actor, writer, Usher. I mean, he's worked with everybody. And actually, this was the song that Dre had done when I first met him, and this was kind of the song that set me up to feel like this was the producer I could work with. Mm. I mean, I had obviously known Dre's history, but when I walked in, I was like, listen, I need to know that you understand me. I need you to understand that, like, I'm going to sing a Whitney Houston ballad, flip into Felony Miona and rap a verse, and then want to become Lauryn Hill, Bob Marley's descendant, and start doing some reggae. Like, I need you to understand. And then Tina Turner on some rock and soul. I need you to know that I need you to encompass all of that. And he's like, yo, man, I got this song. I think you would love it. Like, and he played this for me, and I was like, yo, what is that?
Loaded
and
up.
And it was like, load it up, fire it, let's do this right now. And then, like, you know, it was just the perfect song for exactly where I was at that time, in a loving situation, the way I feel about music, the vocal performance, everything. It was like, it was written for me. Like, that's how I felt. And the lyrical content of it really is just the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, I love that you described it as tragic and uplifting and violent at the same time. I can't wait for you to see the video.
Right.
But you know, it is all of that. And it's like, it's what I love about this record is that it allows me to have my Caribbean feel. It allows me to get really gully on the stage when I perform it, mm-hmm. but it still allows me to deliver that big vocal performance, which I love to do. So, you know, I felt like it was the perfect song to just reintroduce my music back into the market, since I hadn't released something in so long, for people to feel like open up their appetite again, feel satisfied, like, oh yeah, Melanie came with that vibe, not because she's trendy, but because that's who she is. Like, yeah. Melanie came with that singing because we missed hearing her voice singing. Like, people have said this, and it just makes me feel so good. And it's summertime, and like, it's vibes, and it's, you know, reggae, and like, who doesn't love reggae music? Like, if you don't like reggae music, I don't trust you, really. That's the way I feel. So, you know, this is the way I feel. I mean, that's just me. But yeah, like, I just love this record so much. And I'm so thankful to Dre and for Ryan for having it for me, man. I can't, it's just great.
That's dope. Is this indicative of the sound? I asked the question to ask, sometimes as a journalist, we ask questions that we may already know the answer to.
Right.
But is this indicative of the sound on the album or?
No.
Okay.
It's not a reggae driven album. Okay. I will say that. And then for my fans who have listened to my albums, you know, my album has never really been driven by one thing except for vocal performance. Right. It's all I care about. And so, you know, this song is one aspect of what I do, you know, and then there's other things. I mean, there's, like I said, there's really low records that feel like it could be like a Lauryn Hill Sade record, you know, like super low. And a lot of people don't get to hear me because they're so used to me singing up here. Mm. But I wanted to give them that, like, low. Like, I've got this, like, men's voice all the way down here, you know, that, like, I never really get to, like, you know, exercise. And I wanted to be creative and free to be, like, sultry and explore all of those things. So, like, but it's all live instrumentation, the album. And, you know, I've been writing it for the last 2 years. Everything is really personal. And only been working with the producers and songwriters that I absolutely love and that I feel get me and know what this story is about. So but it's just, it's vibe all the way through. Mm. It's just vibe. It's a feeling all the way through.
I love that. I love that. I want to set something up with you because I think you'll be perfect for this. And we spoke about music a lot, but we also speak about our lives and how our lives influence. We have great listeners who may not have the greatest love lives, right? So they email us and they hit us up and they ask us for relationship advice.
This is my favorite thing in the whole world, by the way.
Yeah, they email Chris, actually, because...
Perfect.
Like,
they email us.
They email you. You know, I feel like you're the nice one out of...
Duh, she's the girl in here.
Yeah, right.
That's not always the case. That the girl is the nice one.
Well, she's gonna be nice.
Actually, you know what? No, actually, yeah, I am.
She
is.
I
was gonna disagree right now, but you know what? Again, good cop, bad cop.
You see, you gotta know your role.
Because I might respond to the email when it comes before we even get to say it on the show. Like, out of anger, like, idiot, leave him. But so we let it be for
but
the show.
He
so I'm like, Chris.
Me.
Yeah,
I know.
You could keep going. I wouldn't stop.
We'll save it for the album.
Okay. But we have some relationship questions this week, Chris.
Yeah, I have one that I wanted to get to just because we actually skipped the relationship advice segment last week, and I just want to apologize to the listeners and anybody who wrote to us and gave us questions and we didn't get to, but we had just an awesome conversation with Ryan, so that's that. But somebody wrote to us from Anonymous and said, my current situation is that I am a 20-year-old working hard in graduate school to get my PhD. While this seems great, there is a drawback in that I feel like it's at the expense of my personal life. because I'm a passionate lover at heart that just can't seem to come across Mr. Right. It's saddening because I feel like everyone around me is finding love, getting engaged or married, and they're starting their families. What type of advice do you have for someone like me? Because it's a fear of mine that I will finish school and become this great success story, but have no love life to show for it. I don't want to become the overly successful older woman that's bitter about love because I feel like there's no greater feeling than to be loved. Thanks for your help. I enjoy the podcast because it is truly one of a kind.
Wow. Okay. So can we just first talk about how intelligent this person is, right. How well-spoken and well-read.
Right.
That was like a real, I mean, most people be like, girl, and then he did this, and then I don't know what to do. But she was, wow, how eloquently put. And she sounds, first of all, very intelligent and very, very aware of what's happening in her situation and very mature. So let's start with the fact that you're 20 years old.
Let's 23, but that's still young.
Okay, let's start with the fact that you're 23, and that's still very young. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just say from my personal experience, if I put myself at 23 and the person that I was dating at 23, I would never have ended up with that person. And sure, even a woman in my experience of being successful and having the same types of worries or concerns, like, yo, am I going to find somebody who's going to be able to take this ride with me? Like, are they going to be able to handle me being gone all the time in the spotlight, doing what I got to do, changing, evolving, feeling as an artist? Like, are they going to be able to go on that ride with me? And I think that the first thing I'll say is that you're not alone. That's one. And two, I just feel like you can have it all. And I don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't have it all. It's about balancing, and it's about finding the right person, and it's about timing. The timing of your life. Trust the timing of your life. You're 23. You have so much time ahead of you. Somebody who's even going to find you right now is probably not even going to be able to handle how aware you are of yourself, because you sound so aware of yourself. So I would just say, keep doing what you're doing. Work on you. Work on being the most successful, most amazing person that you can be. That will attract the right person to you, and you'll be able to know whether they're right or they're wrong. But like, you have to believe, and you have to have faith. And like, my personal belief is that you, if you never, and I'm not gonna say you could never find somebody, but I've always been like, man, my ultimate goal is to be happy with myself and the life that I choose to live. However that is, travel, family, whatever, relationships, friends, whatever that is. But you have to be happy with what's going on with you first. And so, you know, it's like, if you couldn't find somebody that could handle how awesome you are, why would you settle for anything less?
Right.
Just to say I got somebody. Like, that's not happiness either. So I just feel like you have to know yourself. And even for me, somebody who is driven, somebody who can be tough and strong and has got a very strong personality, you know, I just feel like you learn and you evolve. You learned how to bend and you learn how to not break. There's a way that you can do it. And like, just stay focused on what you're doing. Stay true to who you are. Be the best person you can be. Never stop working on yourself. And you will find the person who's been working on themselves, and you're going to meet at the right time. You have to believe.
Amen.
Damn.
That was deep.
What's for you is for you. Nothing's going to stop that.
But I do agree. And I feel like, you know, also she says that everybody around her is getting married and engaged. It's like, girl, you know how many people that I know that are getting married, engaged, and having kids? All my friends are having kids.
And then divorced. In five years later.
Right. And also, I think it's important that you don't let all of that impact.
I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying.
Bad cop again.
I'm just saying you just have to be aware. Like, a lot of the reason why, and I'm not an expert because I'm not married yet, but like.
Sure, sounded like an expert. Like,
well, I'm like an 85-year-old, 100-year-old woman inside this body because I've lived many lives. But I really do believe that like, part of the reason why people break up, part of the reason why people divorce or whatever, is because they haven't done the self-work to be able to learn how to grow with someone. And it's a real thing. Like, I have friends, you know, who are in their early 30s or late 20s that are divorced already. And it's like they've been married with somebody since they were like 22, thinking that was the way it was.
Right.
But they never figured out who they were.
You it's know? Work. It takes work and no relationship at any stage is easy.
And it's not it's not impossible.
Right.
But it is difficult, especially in today's world, man. Like, opportunities are endless. Like they're endless for your profession. They're endless for your personal life. I mean, you don't have to meet a nice person on the street anymore. You can just DM them now. Like,
yeah.
This opportunities are endless. So just take your time, man. Just take your time. Enjoy your life. Be your best self.
I disagree, girl. Go find somebody right now. Throw it all the way. I just wanted to break up the vibe.
I think so. I feel like right advice. Now is the wrong time.
Advice. No. Yeah, that was absolutely.
She's
great,
looking
great
for
advice.
It. If anything, it sounds like you're kind of looking for it because everybody around you is doing it and you feel like you're alone. I just feel like if you do that right now because you feel that way, you're going to end up in the wrong relationship. And I feel like you really need to just take your time. And like you said, social media nowadays and everything's digital. And it's like back in the day, you had to literally tell somebody, pick me up at 8. And you had to wait around at 8 o'clock. I mean, obviously, I'm talking about
that's
like a long time
that's
ago.
That's called romance.
It's not even right. romance. It's romance. Like a point that people didn't even have phones. Now, all you have to do is literally send a DM or just... Everything is texting. People don't even like to call anymore. I mean, I'm one of those people, but...
I don't even play that. Like, my boyfriend now, when we first started dating, he was like, he's not really a phone person, and he would just text message me, and I'd just be like, hey. I was like, you have to call me. I don't get down.
That
and
sounds like a song.
He'd be like, you have to call me. Like, I'm like, you do. No, I'm like, I'm not... I'm like, I
album?
Get text. It's that's not.
It
but
like
I was
a
still
song.
Not finished, so I can
like
still slide it
because
on in
a
there.
A lot of people go through that. Like... Mm-hmm. And you think about how much communication gets misconstrued through text, where if I told you, you know, it's a more impersonal form of communication. And you know, if that's your girl, if that's the love of your life, it's like, you know.
I'm old school. Write a letter. Call me. Show up at my job. Show up. Just do something. Just chivalry is not dead. And I just feel like, you know, it's like. And everybody's standards are different. Like, some people don't care. Like, I'm one of those types of people that's just like, no, we're not together. Like, physically, you have to call me to say goodnight or hit me to say goodnight. Like, you have to.
Right.
You better call me to say goodnight. Right. Like, that's that.
As long as
I believe
not-
it too. You should see her face. Like, she's not even joking.
No,
she's like, this
it's
is just
not
what
a
it
game.
Is.
But that's just what, but like I said, everybody's expectations are different. Like, some people don't need that or want that. They like, are like, whatever. I'm like, no, like, I want to know that you're thinking about me before you go to sleep. I want you to check. And as a woman, I want a man to check on me. I want a man to be like, you're good? Because if a man who's not checking on a woman before he goes to sleep, he's not really protecting his territory. I'm
that
just saying.
That is true. I see, I'm not even like, I'll go back, I'll say, I'm not a phone person.
Yeah.
So I hate being on the phone.
Right.
And I hate text messaging that's like irrelevant or it's just like beating around the
phone. Yeah. Small talk.
I hate that. But I do realize that I pick up the phone for the right person.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if it's like... a person that comes in and you kind of even smile at it like, all right, they're checking on me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's still about men making women feel special. And I think that goes back to probably our first or second episode where we talked about courting to women. And men don't do that anymore. I feel like the smart men, and I mean, that's probably why we live in an age where women date older men. It's because the older men still do it. And it's even just like a text like, hey, thinking about you.
Yeah.
It's like...
That's courting.
And that's not being soft, because Rob's giving me the crazy eyes right now.
I'm good. I'm not giving you no... like
I feel
uncomfortable right now, because we not having no more female guests on this podcast. I feel like an
breaking
outsider.
Breaking barriers.
Yeah, nah.
That's right.
It's dope, what they want. But honestly, you put in for the female listeners, I imagine our listeners is like, that's right. Mm-hmm. And for the dudes... y'all getting put onto some serious game right
take
now.
Notes.
Like,
take notes. Like, I mean, the art of romanticism never goes out of style.
Never.
Like, and it only works out in your favor, dudes. Like, if you're a romantic dude, it's only going to end well for you. Like, you just you know, and that's the thing is that I just think that one of the greatest lessons that I've learned is just like, death to the ego, man.
Right.
Yes.
In all regards. Like,
and don't be a pushover either.
No,
right.
A pushover, but death to the ego, man. Speak your mind, speak your heart. There's no losing in that, because how many times have you heard people be like, man, maybe I shouldn't have, or dang, I should have never, like, said or felt. It's like, no, like, go out being like, I was truthful with how I felt. If you didn't receive that, that's on you. You know what I mean? I'd rather be like, I love you. You don't love me? That's cool. But if I love you, I told you I love you, because I guarantee you in about 6 months, you're going to be like, damn, that was the best chick I ever had. I wish I would have just been. It's just like, I don't have time for games. If I'm feeling you, I tell you. If I'm not feeling you, there's no place for you in my life. It's just like that.
Everybody in the room right now is captivated and hanging on to Mel's everywhere. I feel like music just isn't the end for you. I see show like...
I might be looking at a film. I feel like you could play a real good character. And going back to the ego thing, the internet actually has a song out that I suggest everybody listens to. A lot of people have been asking me if I've even heard the album and stuff. But the song I Tried, they have the song I Tried. And it gets so sentimental at the end. The beat slows down and it just kind of lingers on. And it kind of feels like when you just tried and gave up. And it's like you tell that person, like, you know what? I tried. Too bad.
That was the first record I wrote for the album. That was the first record. And that was like in the whole light of Awake, you know, it's always darkest before dawn. Mm-hmm. And like that record was a really low record. It was the reflection of that dark space of being like, yo, man, I tried being good. I tried this. This didn't work, but I tried and I gave it my best. I still didn't win, but I get back up. Mm. And I tried. And I feel like people feel like that.
Yeah. Mm.
I feel like we all feel like that in different regards. And like that record's also just not so much to a relationship, but it's also the internal battle.
Mm.
That like sometimes we just go in our heads and in ourselves, and it's just like, man, you just caught in yourself. You know, it's just like, yeah. Well, what else am I left to do? And you feel helpless. And that's really where that record came. But like I said, we don't stay down. We always get up.
Speaking of the darkest before dawn, 4 a.m. I like that. That was a good segue, right? When she said that,
it's
I was like,
a good one. That was right. That was right on. You should do this.
Yeah.
You should do this for a living.
Yeah, there's a future in this for you, kid.
Thank you, Jimmy. Stick with this.
This record is a great record to me because I feel like, too, as men, you know, just anybody, right? But when you pick apart a small detail that feels universal to everybody. So you obviously singing from a woman's perspective. So imagine you're driving in the car with your woman and she's feeling the song. And she's singing it because she relates to it. And as a dude, you relate to it, too. But it makes you feel uncomfortable. You're like,
ooh, why is she rocking so hard? Ooh, I don't know if I like it.
You want to change the station, right. But then you don't want to make it look too awkward. 4 a.m.
Yo.
Just talk about this right now.
4 a.m. So I definitely had a boyfriend who was always out in the club all the time. He was the one that would come home and never call. Like, I'd be like, I'm not calling to keep tabs on you. Call me, let me know you made it home in one piece. Like, that's all I'm asking. Mm-hmm. But he was always out doing the most, drinking, getting drunk. And so I did this record with Rico Love.
Mm-hmm.
And Rico...
Who we had on the show. Shout out to Rico Love.
Shout out to Rico Love, hey, who's Rico. So super talented. And I remember when Rico came up and he was just like, he's probably somewhere with the dancer. I was like, am I going to say that? He was like, yup. And I was like, I am going to say that. And I was like, I remember being so like, man, this is really going to push the boundaries for like what people are talking about right now. And like, of course, Stripper Game was like on the come up at the same time. And he was just like, man, he's like, trust me. He's like, I'm writing this too from my own experience.
Because he was
You know what I'm saying? So like, it was really amazing. And I never, and that song sonically was a real step outside from the bridge for me, you know, like that was very linear. Mm-hmm. That was that lo-fi that was in the time of like Motivation with Kelly Rowland. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, everything that kind of Drake, that lo-fi kind of sound. Yeah. That like, yeah, as they say, emo R&B or whatever. Mm-hmm. That like R and bass. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was a different stretch for me, and I remember having to like really mentally break down my barriers to be like, yo, sing this record because somebody needs to hear it,
right?
Sing this record because you feel this record, you know. Don't be so close-minded to like the sonic of it, because it was so different for me. It wasn't like that big ballad. And that has gone on to be one of my favorite and biggest records, just because it was talking about the things that nobody really wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real. And Ev, to this day, man, if I do a show, I'll be three songs in, they'll be like, 4 a.m.
But what happens when you look in the crowd? Do the men get uncomfortable?
It's so funny. You
standing
know,
next to that girl?
You know what's so funny? Dudes rock with that song a lot. Dudes really do rock with that song. They do, because that beat goes so hard. Are you killing me?
But can like, we get that on at all right now? Even like a quick 10 seconds? I think, listen, you have the platform. You have the platform to say everything that other people are too afraid to say. And I feel like that's one thing in life that I'm learning. It's like you have to stop apologizing for who you are and what you have felt in life. Everybody feels it. Don't think about
it
so much. Just go. And you have that platform to say those things. And even though you were like, am I going to say that? You know what? Appreciate that you really do go out and say that.
And I never knew. Thank you. And I never knew that it was going to really touch that many people. But man, that's the jam.
How gone it got me, more than my heart could ever bruise. You see the sky.
That's the tone of your voice too. I believe you.
I have a funny story when this is done.
You're gonna let it ride to the hook. First of all, that song came out in 2015 and it was somebody other than Melanie singing this song, they'll probably try to throw Migos ad-libs that song is perfect just the way it is and what we talk about when we talk about Timeless. You had a funny story about the song?
Okay, funny-ass story. So the same boyfriend that I was talking about, shout out to you. So apparently he hit me up one day, like years later, and he was like, yo, he was like, the craziest thing happened to me. And I was like, what? He's like, yo, so I'm on vacation, like with some of my boys and we're out and whatever. He's like, we're hanging out with all these girls that like know my boys or whatever. And he's like, and the girl, one of the girls in the room starts playing your music. And so he's like, I start to feel like mad uncomfortable. And somebody was just like, yo, you know, that's her ex-boyfriend. And they played 4 a.m. And they were like, yo, you're 4 a.m. You're 4 a.m. And he's like, you basically ruined my whole weekend. I just want to say thanks. And I was like,
damn, they labeled nobody. Him 4 a.m.
They labeled him
4 a.m. You ruined your whole weekend.
Right.
Your ass should have called.
Your ass should have called.
Stop hanging with them strippers and Taz's angels. Fuck wrong with you. Look at Melanie
they
now.
They're not even strippers.
She got Grammys
what
now.
What are they?
They're just they. We're going to leave them right there.
We're going to leave them right there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Peace and blessings to all.
Rico. He had told me, he and I have the greatest interviews. He was up on this podcast. We just really enjoy his perspective and his music. He told me that he had written another song for you that never came. And I love these stories because you never, like, we hear songs and we don't know where they start and where they end up. So he wrote another song with you in mind, but you didn't actually end up doing the song and it ended up going to another artist. You know what I'm talking about?
Me and Mr. Wrong get along so good. But when I heard those two records, I knew 4 a.m. was the one.
Right.
I knew it. And Mr. Wrong was a great record, but like, I just wasn't in that space. Mm-hmm. I didn't love my Mr. Wrong.
Was it a choice?
That wasn't where, it was a choice.
It was a choice.
It was a choice. And 4 a.m. was my choice, man. I like,
I'm not mad at
I knew it. Right, right. I knew it. I was like, 4 a.m. I was like, I've lived this. I was like, this is where I feel I'm at. I need to talk about this. And, you know, I remember being like, when I heard Mary, and then, of course, the song went to Mary. So I'm like, yo, it's a win-win anyways. Right. I'm like, yo, Mary did the other record that Rico did for me. Like, that's awesome. Right. You know what I mean? That's legendary. Shout out to Mary J. Blige.
With Drake on it. With your homeboy Drake on it. Cause
shout out to the six with my woes.
We didn't. First of all, like, I've been to Toronto once. I was about 8 years old. My parents took me.
Don't count.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
I'm sorry.
It really does. No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And hearing Drake, yo, I feel like he put the city on his, like, I want to go, just like, what's going on? Now y'all, it got a, before it was like T-Dot, and it was cool, no disrespect. Mm-hmm. Now the six, it's like, man, I want to go to the six.
So proud.
And so many dope artists come out of there.
So proud.
What's the vibe like?
I love that what Drake has done. And hip hop allows you to do that. You know what I mean? Like R&B, it's a little bit more limiting. Like if I made an R&B song about I was running through the six with my boats, people would have been like, what is this R&B singer talking about? Yeah. But like when you sing that shit mad cool, like everybody, I was running through the six. Like everybody's chanting it. And I love what he did. He put the city on his back. He made an anthem that's about our city that has everybody singing it. You know what I mean? Like, it's now a song. Like, that's not just a place. Like, it's a thing. It's a culture that people now feel like they know what it is. And I love that. And, like, you know, I've known Drake for a long time. We go way back. I mean, way back to, like, singing in, like, restaurants for, like,
well, you guys were, for those who don't know, we're in a group together, the Renaissance, right?
The Renaissance. We were, like, a little movement, like, a little clique in Toronto, all individual artists just coming together to, like, freestyle, cover songs, do original records down, you know, in this basement we were doing it. And, you know, it was love from then. And he was so talented from then. And he's always had a vision. Mm. He's always had a vision. He's always been super talented. And I'm so proud that he has taken that and made that a universal language. Mm. And I love that. I didn't care who it was. It could have been me. It could have been anybody. It could be the person after him. It was always the intention for all of us. What we've been working towards is to bring that spotlight to our city, right? Because there's so much talent up there.
Yeah, really got the hot. Weeknd is from Toronto.
Weeknd, so Party Next Door. Like,
Weeknd just broke a record that I think he has the top three records on the Billboard R&B charts. And that's the first time. It's like, first of all, that can't feel my face. Like when I was like, this boy's out of here. Mm-hmm. Do you have a relationship with the Weeknd?
I have actually never met him.
Wow.
Which is crazy to me because I would love to meet him. I would love to work with him. Like, I actually really respect what he's done, and I love the lane that he's carved out for himself too. I love that he's been able to create his own identity. And I love that, like, what that does is then get people looking for the other identities that come out of Canada, you know? And that's there's so much talent. There's been talent up there. I mean, like, always, from forever. Like, speaking of R&B, Glenn Lewis.
Right.
I mean, he's native. Tamia, native to Canada. Deborah Cox, native. Like, we have so many. And then you could go into pop world. You could go into Avril Lavigne, Celine Dion, Shania Twain.
I didn't know
the
Avril Lavigne was...
The Biebs, the Biebs. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have so
much... Put your pants up, kid.
So much talent. So much talent up there, you know? And I just love that people are taking notice. I love that he's brought that attention to us in the best way, not for anything negative, for something super positive, for the kid that everyone kind of wanted to sleep on. Mm-hmm. Right. He's the man. And, like, I'm so proud of him.
Well, I know everybody says this to you, but I would love to hear you guys work together again, because you did some writing together.
I've been that girl.
Let's play a little bit of it, because you hear... Drake's not on this record, but...
You hear him,
you hear Melanie, and it sounds like Toronto, and it's such a dope moment. I'll just play a piece of this also.
The tires on his brand new car, I knew that he'd drive you crazy. Guess the only option's to fall when you get pushed too far. You'll think about that next time, maybe. When he's calling your name, when he needs you back in his life, cause he's got some secrets and all of them came up. When it's all in your name, but you can't make the payment. He needs you to stay, but you wanna go, I know, cause I've been that girl. I've been that.
Yeah, we just gonna play a piece because, Me and Melanie are cool, and I don't think she'll sue us if we'll play her records, but nah. I think that was when you was on Universal, so you still might own that.
Yeah.
We don't need no C&Ds.
Nah, it's all good.
Man, I appreciate you just coming up. There's two things that are very precious in life. It's time and energy, and for you to share your time and your energy with us. Your energy is amazing. Like, we can't thank you enough. This is amazing.
Man, like, I appreciate it. I appreciate what you guys are doing. Like, this is a blessing to be able to do what I do and then have a platform to talk about it and have people who are just equally as passionate, even on the other end. You know what I mean? So just thank you. Thank you for the support. I wish you guys, like, the most amazing success with this. I hope this blows all the way up and gives people a real ear to the diversity of what R&B is, you know? Like, I really, really do. And I appreciate you guys having me on.
And you do, too, because I don't think... when we talk about R&B, it's like feels like this one linear thing, but it is when you get into your West Indian bag a little bit, or your Motown thing, or Give It To Me, right? Like, it's a bunch of things. So just the way with hip hop, you have like boom bap, you have like trap music, like it's a bunch of things. So when we say R&B, and I just want to be clear because I don't want anybody to get offended, we're not trying to put you in a box or into one thing, but we're trying to celebrate a bunch of different styles and voices.
And vibes.
I got one more question.
Ask
for you.
Just one more.
It would make me the happiest man on earth right now.
Now
you might
nervous.
Just sing a little song.
Sure, I got you.
Might just sing a little. Like, nobody's ever sung on this podcast.
Nobody's ever sung on this
podcast.
Nobody
has. We've been waiting for a female. To
I
come
am
on
the
and
first
so.
Girl and the first singer. Like, that's like gonna do a little something for you.
I think what we're gonna do is when this is done. We're on SoundCloud right now where you can hear us. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to erase every other episode
and then
just put this one up.
Bang. New rules.
And this will now be the standard of how you do a red light special.
You got to come interview. On here and you better... It was like, what was the radio show where you got to come on and freestyle, and if you don't, you ain't getting on the show.
Right.
It's you better.
I know Sway does that all the time. I know Rap City back in the day used to do that. Yeah, yeah, you know what? New rules.
Exclusive for you.
The first time you shot me down, I was grazed. Second round was never found, it ricocheted. Nowhere to run, I was stunned in the daze. A victim of a love I can't escape. I remember when you said you love me. Three little words that burned into my soul. Maybe you didn't mean them things you told me. Maybe you really didn't mean those words at all. But I'll bite the bullet. I'll do it in the name of love. I guess I'll bite the bullet or stop playing with loaded guns. Stop playing with loaded guns.
Brat, 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 brat. Yo.
We got some of that Caribbean that's vibe in there. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Yo, Mel.
That is amazing. You Mel, thank
really
you so
do
much.
This.
Thank you. I do this.
Like, you
there's
really?
A future for you in this, kid.
Yo. There was no auto. There's no auto tune in the room. All right.
Nothing.
That was just voice.
Man, thank you.
Yo. I
gotta make it out
fan.
To see you live
yeah.
because yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, you definitely gotta come check out a show, man. Cool. The show is so tight right now. I mean, I got a whole new setup. The music is so great. And now I'm at that point, and like, I know every artist gets to this point where like they now on their third album, so they have a catalog of music mm-hmm. that like people know. So you're not like on stage singing songs. Like in your first album, people know like one, two records right. for you. Then you got to do a 90-minute show with songs they don't know. You're like, right. Just stay with me here. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But now I'm at that point where it's just so much fun because people know all the songs and they're just rocking with me. So cool. Yeah, you def That's live is like my favorite.
Do you have
aspect.
Any more shows coming up in New York?
Not right now because I'm finishing the album. So I'm going to finish the album in the next month.
Mm.
And then, like I said, I'm looking for a fall release. So as soon as like we get that date, there's going to be obviously the promo cool. shows and then the tour shows. And
well, let us know.
Cool.
We'll keep it in the loop. We'll shout it out to the listeners because I know after this, if they didn't want to go to the Melanie Fiona concert, they're going to want to go now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just might dip to the bathroom when 4 a.m. comes on, but I'm going to be right back for the rest of the set.
I'll be front row.
where can they find you at on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram? Shout it out.
Okay, so Twitter and Instagram, Melanie Fiona, and then on Snapchat, which is my new joint. Which I love being on.
I just started following.
I'm Felony Miona. So it's like reverse the M and the F, and then you can find me. I'm also known as the Snap Queen. Because I'm a Snap Queen. And I really love it. Like,
I know it. Rob loved that because he loves Petty. Well, yeah.
I just love it. I just love Snapchat because I just get to like say whatever I want on there. And like people, I think, really get a chance to see your personality. Whereas like every other thing is like super curate. You know, it's like 140 characters. I mean, it's only 10 seconds, but I get to have a lot of fun. And I do love like communicating with the people. So just come check me out. MelanieFiona.com. New website is launching soon. That's going to have all the information. But yeah, come talk to me. I like you. Talk to me.
That's dope. Chris, where can they find you at?
At Chris Lova, Instagram, Twitter, everything. That's KrisLovaA.
All right. And, you know, I'm at Rob Markman, RobMarkMan on Twitter and Instagram. And you can catch me at MTV on MTV News, just reporting the news out there, writing, reporting. And again, I just want to shout out again, Wednesday, July 22nd at the Apple Store in Soho, 103 Prince Street. Come check us out for Meet the Podcasters event. You come meet me and Chris. It's going to be hosted by Sway Calloway. Listen, we don't ask you guys for a lot. I need that line down the block. I want to feel like when Melanie Fiona comes to town and sells out, you know, the concert. I want to feel like a rock star. I want to feel like the line down the block. So please come out. It's going to be a good time. Rock with us. Support with us. And until next week, man, shout out to Melanie. Shout out to R. Kelly, the legend, the king, the R&B. And we're going to take you out with Jake and Papa Starvis. Peace. And that's the motherfucking truth.